Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think our league is good. It's not great. I think we have three teams that are capable of winning the whole thing, going to the Final Four. I think Duke, Florida State, and Louisville. I think those three teams have separated themselves as the best teams.
And we're powered by Bowser Chevy, locations Beaver Falls and Monroeville. It's Pony and Page, sponsored by Air Pro Heating and Cooling. Call someone you know at Air Pro Heating and Cooling. Go to APHVAC.com. Jeff Capel on his radio show talking about the haves and have-nots in the ACC in 2020. Says there are only three good teams. The selection committee unveiled its top 16 seeds today. I think they do this a couple times a year now, Julius. They're trying to, like, piggyback off of the way the college football playoff thing works, where every week they give you a little tease. And so they just unveiled the top 16 teams, top 16 seeds. Louisville, a 2 seed. Duke, a 2 seed. Florida State, a 3 seed. Those are the three teams Capel was talking about. Over at CBSSports.com, their latest bracketology, that's it. They only have 3 ACC teams in the tournament in a 15-team league. That would be the fewest since 2000.
In the entire tournament?
In the entire tournament.
First 16?
No, in the entire NCAA tournament. They only have those 3 teams. So that would be the fewest since 2000. And that sets the scene for today's game. Pitt and Georgia Tech lumped in with everybody else. Both of these teams are 5-7 in conference play. Pitt's got a better overall record, 14-9. The Yellow Jackets are 11-12. Odds makers think this will be a good game. Pitt at home today is only a 2-point favorite. Ryan Murphy, a game time call. We'll see on him. Maybe we'll get some more information when network coverage kicks in about 25 minutes from now. What do you make of that situation where the conference has hit a point where, you know, this is supposed to be the best conference in college basketball, Julius. And there's 3 teams ranked, and according to the experts, there's only 3 NCAA tournament teams right now.
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things, to be honest with you. Number one, I feel that basketball, you know, across the board is just more diverse. It's more good players to pull from, and I think the difference between the really good players, like the, you know, top 15 players in the country, isn't that big. The gap isn't that big, is what I'm saying. So I think it makes it harder for one of the teams that's usually at the top of a conference to dominate the way that they used to. I think that trend is just going to continue to be that way. What do you think?
I think, and we're going to hear it here, I agree with something Mike Krzyzewski, Jeff Capel's old boss, said this week. You know, issues abound in college basketball. There's no Zion Williamson this year.
That didn't make them the best team, though. They didn't win a chip.
No, you're right, but it made college basketball more popular last year.
Absolutely.
Jay-Z's going to Pitt games because of it.
Yeah, it definitely did that.
And so there's a star drain and a talent drain on college basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there's not a lot of good, like, your Pitt teams, if you put one of your Pitt teams into this year's season, you might be the best team in America. Like, there's no great team.
I feel like if you put us in any situation, it's going to
you guys were really good back then, but I'm just saying, like, you guys would run into Carmelo Anthony, or run into Connecticut teams, or you'd run into Dwayne Wade. There's no team like that this year that I can tell. Maybe in the next month and a half, somebody will come forward. There has to be a national champion, but there's not a team that just...
Okay, so let me ask you this question. So, obviously, in regards to must-see TV, Zion last year was must-see TV.
Yeah, and they had R.J. Barrett,
but
too.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is Zion, 1 year after, in regards to, this is the kind of player that I need to, like, start my franchise with, that much further than John Morant.
No, I like Morant more last year.
So that, and that's all I'm trying to say. Like, it's not really that. The gap between these players, I don't think, is as far apart as it used to be back in the day.
I teased to Coach K. Let's hear what he had to say about, you know, the ACC being down, only three tournament teams, Pitt lumped in with everybody else in the state of college basketball.
I think the whole state of college basketball has been hurt by how many kids have tested the waters. It's not the one and dones. We've lost about 70, 80 kids who weren't even drafted besides the ones who were drafted. Well, I wish the whole thing would change. The transfer list, what, about 1,000 of them last year? That's the biggest one and done that's changed basketball. It's the grad transfer one and done. We got to be so careful. I've said this for a couple years, that as soon as they said high school kids could go, it's at some time soon. We as a college community don't think of what that means. The NBA does. NBA has ramped up the G League, unionized. You see things on TV. How many high school games do you see now on TV? I see in the future a high school mega league that has a TV contract. Can that happen? You bet your butt it can happen, especially if those kids aren't going to go to college. The NBA is going to want to promote those guys. Come on. I mean, these things are happening. I don't know. I won't be coaching them, but we got to be careful and strategic. And do you see anything coming out from the NCAA saying what our future is, or what our plan? And by the way, who would say that? Collegiate NCAA football would not. They run it big time. We don't do it, man. We don't do it. It's sad. It's sad.
What do you make of those comments?
I don't think it's sad at all. Too bad. That's how I feel. You know, usually at the end of your business plan, what you have? An exit strategy. In the event that it all starts to go south, right? And maybe it's just starting to just fall apart.
Yeah, but how do you, college basketball is always going to have a place.
It's going to have
on
a
our
place.
Sports landscape, because March Madness is too good to screw up.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second,
the tournament,
sir,
is too good to screw up.
If the tournament is really good, but if the tournament is missing the best players because they all go into the G League, we're going to see how interested people are going to be when the best players are not even playing.
I hear that, but people are always going to want to fill out brackets and bet on it and take Thursday and Friday off
from
work.
That is 3 weeks of basketball.
That's it, though. You're right. No, I agree with you. I think that's what Krzyzewski's saying. Outside of 3 weeks, the sport's practically irrelevant unless you have a Zion Williamson or somebody like that that's captivating America.
And there you go.
And his initial point there I agree with. Why is it that, let's say Julius Page, after his junior year, declared for the NBA draft and went undrafted, why can't you come back to Pitt?
I don't know.
That
rule is...
That's dumb to me.
Listen,
why? Because you've lost your amateur status? That's stupid. That's so antiquated.
It's
1950.
So many. Yeah, you could pick a lot of things apart. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with it either, but, man, I mean, just not being willing to change any of these things when you look back at them and say that just doesn't make sense, and that's where I'm lost. Like, knowing that it just doesn't make sense to not let that kid go back to school, it doesn't make sense to me. But at the same time, we sit here complaining about college players not getting paid, but they on scholarship, though. And they about to monetize the high school game? We're going in the wrong direction.
Well, but I think what Coach K is trying to say is that the NBA sets the agenda. And if the NBA decides and wakes up in the next couple of years and says, well, you know, we'll let the Kobe Bryants and Kevin Garnetts and LeBron Jameses come right into our league, what is going to be college basketball's
reaction to that? If a real estate law has changed in the classroom, they're going to start teaching some things different. Am I right or am I wrong? If the laws change at that level where a person has to learn the law, the NBA is the profession, the professional. You pick up a basketball, I mean, not everybody, but if your dream is to go
but
to the league.
But I think college basketball...
It's not as connected.
Well, but there's only so many spots that are available a year in the NBA to kids that come out of the draft.
That's
30
true.
Kids get drafted, maybe 15. Or 60 kids get drafted, maybe 15 or 20 end up on NBA benches and end up cracking into the league.
Okay.
The guys that slip through, I think, should
can
be allowed
go
to
overseas.
Come. Should, well, but I'm saying they should have the option to come back to college.
Absolutely.
If they want to go make money, fine.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's your personal decision. But I think college basketball should at least keep the door open
for sure.
To welcome them back. Like,
I agree.
Pitt's playing Georgia Tech today.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech, I mean, this is what stinks about college basketball. Georgia Tech was very relevant for about 10 years because they had a good coach who would go and get guys like Kenny Anderson and Dennis Scott and Stephon Marbury. And those
Jarrett Jack. Come on, don't leave my man Jack off of there.
And those guys would stay. That's what gave college basketball an identity. Guys were there for more than just one semester. You know, these teams ended up having, like, your Pitt team had an identity. And guys that stuck around for a while, people knew who you were.
Right.
That college basketball, the rosters change over. There's so much turnover now, whether kids are leaving for the NBA or, also Krzyzewski said, everybody transfers now,
right?
too.
Yeah, because kids are starting to do what's in their best interest.
And that's good for them.
Absolutely.
I am all for that, but I think that does hurt the sport. I think that hurts.
Yo, listen, I'm going to be straight forward with you.
It's player first, but it's not.
I could care less. Straight up. The kid should be doing what's in his best interest because the school is going to do what's in their best interest. The coach is going to do what's in his best interest. I could care less. Do what's in your best interest. If you're not getting playing time and you don't like it, bounce.
Yep.
If you need to make dough and take care of your family, bounce. Because if you stay and end up getting injured, okay, ain't nobody's taking care of you, my man. They're going to forget about you, a new wave of freshmen coming in, and guess what?
What
you're
old
news.
What would you say to
straight
the,
up.
And you're a good person to ask this question to. What would you say to the rebuttal that the guy that stays 4 years becomes like an institution at the school, becomes, you know, one of the best players in program history, that the school takes care of that guy for life?
For life?
Yeah. You know, like you're a celebrity there, or you're always going to make money off of the fact that you were a great player at that school. You buy that?
What do you mean? Do I? I don't know if I'm getting a hold of.
Well, I'm saying you know you stay for 4 years,
right?
You have a great college career.
Okay.
Maybe you never pan out in the pros. You never go out and have a great pro career.
Okay.
But you're always going to have that school to come back to. That's
right.
Always going to take care of you.
I think we will have to define take care of you. I'm also more of an advocate of really putting a kid in a position where he could really pave his own way and have an idea what life is going to look like after basketball. I feel like too many of these kids really had to rely on basketball to be their ticket to get out of the situation they're in, but they never was around people that would help them plan. This is why the scholarship thing really isn't working in so many ways. I agree with some people, you know, the scholarship should be enough. Okay, yeah, if the kid know how to maximize that situation. But if he's going to school and nobody gave him any direction and he's just going to pick a major, never thought of it.
Do you think
how is it valuable?
Right.
To him?
Do you think generally speaking, basketball programs care more about making sure a player is eligible than making sure they get their degree?
How many coaches are sitting down and really trying to put their kid on a path of really figuring that out academically?
You tell me.
I don't know. I only had a couple of them in
right.
college. So I only could speak on behalf of them. They made sure I was eligible
and that's a big
to be on the
right?
floor, but they didn't really give me no blueprint. I'm just calling a spade a spade.
And
they
what's
didn't
the
be
difference
like, yo,
between
Julius,
those two things?
What are you going to do? A lot, because as an 18-year-old kid coming from the inner city of Buffalo, New York, I was just trying to get a scholarship and get out of there so I can try to change the direction my life was going to go in
through
if
basketball.
I didn't do it. Exactly.
Not through education.
But it took more. Well, not so much, but in regards to planning. What are you going to major in? And things. I never really thought just getting the scholarship was a reach in a way. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
I was more consumed with qualifying SATs, getting the grades. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was getting, but I wasn't really thinking beyond. What if, you know, playing for what if I don't even know if I'm going to get it? I got to breathe. I got it. I was like, okay, great. At that point, I should have shifted my thinking to, okay, now what are you going to major in?
How do you balance both? I mean, how do you balance, you know, all the work that goes into being a Division I major ACC college basketball player? And
school first, always.
But how, though?
I'm about to tell you. And if the bag come after, you take the bag. You can always go back to school, you know, but you're not going to make that kind of money that fast in no other industry, basically. So you go get that bread until you can't get it. Okay,
yeah.
But you got to always know what your end game is going to be. You got to play those cards. Because it's going to end for everybody. The grade has got to stop at some point and then figure out what he's going to do for those next 40, 50, I mean, if you're lucky, 40 years. I mean, if you retire at 40, you could still live 40, 50 more.
Right.
So you're talking about an entire lifetime to just throw that back like I'll figure it out once that time come. You're signing yourself up to just end up doing anything, basically.
And Pitt, welcome back. It's basketball alum today. They're at the Pete for today's game. It's Pitt and Georgia Tech. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. In a word, Jeff Cape will do a better job with alumni, you think?
Easily.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, coming up, we got Pitt and Georgia Tech. Network pregame kicks in at 1:30 on 93.7 The Fan.
Look, I hate losing. I hate it. I hate it. I despise it. I don't like the feeling of it. I take them hard. It's hard for me to move on. I understand that you have to. You know, but kids today are different. It's a very, very different time because stuff doesn't occupy their mind very long. They're able to move on extremely quickly.
Fan Hotline brought to you by workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. That was Jeff Capel on today's players not taking losing the way that they used to. That guys get over it much easier than maybe in the past. He said for him it's, you know, he loses sleep over losses. Aggravates him for days. Pitt coming off a loss at Notre Dame, 80-72. Ashton Gibbs' little brother, TJ Gibbs, had 21 for Notre Dame. Why isn't he at Pitt? Come on, keep it in the family. If you had a little brother, you would have sent him to Pitt, right?
Not if it's not in his best interest.
Okay. Justin Champagne, double-double in that game, 20-11. Is he turning into Pitt's best player? I think he is.
I mean, he's already been proven that. Turning into, I think he already is.
But we would not have said that coming into the season because we didn't know him yet. Right. There's another one. His twin brother's at St. John's. Bring him here.
I think they wanted to go. I mean, I think his brother wanted to stay close, and he didn't want to. So that was just more of a
personal preference.
Yeah, but little brothers want to get out of the, you know, the that shadow is. Of the, you know,
I got
we
you.
Want to do our own thing. You know?
You I agree with call. That idea that today people are getting over losses easier, players?
I wouldn't. I don't know. I can only speak for myself in that regard. But not today. It was some guys back then that we would lose and just, it's almost like they forgot about it instantly. Like, it ain't a big deal. I obsess about things. I can't. I just, you know, this is why I can't coach. Seriously, like, I would go crazy. I would literally, because you, as a coach, like, seriously, you remember every play. You just be playing a game in your head over and
why
over.
Why do you think Brandon was better suited for that then? What made
coaching?
His yeah? What made
he
his
grew
temperament?
Up in basketball. He just well. First
well,
of all,
what
he
are you? You don't.
Guard.
You didn't discover.
I didn't
basketball.
Start playing basketball
That's
until
right.
I was
you
in
football.
Seventh grade.
That's
was
right.
a football player. That's what I'm saying. Like at the end of the day, I was honest with myself. I don't like the code. I don't want to play out here. So look, call me soft, bro. I'll take it. I like.
I
sure.
don't think you played soft.
But anyway, Brandon grew up, you know, in the basketball. His dad was a coach. His brother played. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, this is in his blood. I was more of a hustler. Like, I'm going to figure it out how to get out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn early. So just different situations. That's what, not to mention, at the same time, Brandon used to tell me all the time, I have to learn how to deal with different personalities because I can't yell at everybody. He used to tell me that. You can't yell. Everybody don't take to yelling. So you're going to have to learn. I didn't learn because he told me. I had to learn in time to just relax. Like, sometimes you just got to be chill and just say what you say without going over the top.
Interesting contrast today. 2-5-7 teams built a little bit differently. Georgia Tech has Wright and Banks inside. Both shoot over 50%, 1-6-8, 1-6-10. They play a lot of minutes. Banks is 8th in the league in rebounds, 2nd in blocks. Wright is 10th in blocks, so they've got some size. That's a game where they're going to need something from Terrell Brown.
Yeah.
And or Hamilton.
Which means it's more about what we're going to do opposed to, you know, Georgia Tech. At the end of the day, you know, we have to be aggressive. I think Tony has been aggressive coming on. And defensively, we got to run guys off this line. I mean, Gibbs made 5 threes, 8. You know, that's 5 out of 8 of his shots that he made, 3-point shots. He's a shooter. You can't.
Yeah, this team doesn't
make
shoot
it.
They've got good guards.
I'm just saying, but like, when you know what a guy is going to do, you got to at least try to take that away.
I'd start the game in zone against him. He cut down their penetration.
You would say that. You went
well,
to Syracuse.
Correct. Yeah.
Come on.
Guilty as charged there. This is an important game. You know,
it's huge because it separates us from everybody else. How many teams is that? 5-7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams at 5-7. Notre Dame, 5-6.
It's just hard for me to picture Pitt finishing at 500 or better in the ACC if they lose this game today.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would agree there.
I think Pitt wins. Lines 2.
You got to take care of home.
Exactly. That too. With all the alumni there.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's cool and all, but we got to do it. You got to do it for you because we're trying to take those steps forward. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, alumni there, that's cool. You know, we like it. But it's more about what y'all doing.
If there were
here.
Famous,
this is your show right
if
now.
If there were famous people or important people at the game, would you play better typically?
I don't really pay attention to the crowd, my man. I'm
so you
I'm
never saw
focused.
Somebody
I
famous.
I see them, but I don't. It don't
never motivated you.
Never motivated. None. Not at all.
So like Spike Lee at the Garden or one of those guys. Never really.
It's not. It's not what's on my mind. It's you know having to guard this dude or execute what I need to get back in transition. Like it's too much going on to have to be worried about Spike Lee on the sideline. Maybe I'm just not that good to be that relaxed. Stop. I needed to focus.
Right.
I'm serious.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations North Huntington and the North Hills. Pitt pregame live from the Pete next on The Fan.